Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's that Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview, Washington. I'm going to call up here and sing a song that Christy Lane made famous way back when. I'm going to play a little six string for Jenny. I'm standing back of her. She sings.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
Church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
With my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
graves.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, Father, to give us the guidance that we need, Father, so that we can walk closer and stronger in and with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, Father, that we can be those that are working in the field of harvest and to bring more fruit unto you, Father. And we know that within ourselves, we can't do this, Father. But with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. And once again, Father, we're asking you to be with us throughout the remainder of this service. And we're asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, we found where the Lord Jesus Christ was comparing us to branches that belong to the vine, and him being the vine. And then he also gave us a warning about when we do walk that way, how the world is going to hate us. And it will hate you and I because it hated him. So we're no different. And Satan will do everything he can do to drag us away from the gospel and away from the Lord our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows that he would have to drag us away from the Holy Spirit in order to be able to do anything. But you know, he's not strong enough for that. Only if you let him be. We fight him, yes. There's times he'll give us things that we really don't want or need. But you know, just as I've been going through this, we don't have to go through it alone. We have one that will go through it with us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great love for you and I. He will be right there with us to see us through. And when we come out of these things, we come out stronger than we were when we went in. So let's just rejoice and continue praising the Lord regardless of what Satan has brought against us, because he can't win unless we let him win. I'm going to be getting with you now here in John 16, because we're going to continue on with what was started this morning. And we're being warned again here in the first part, about the first three verses of this. We're going to be warned about that persecution. And we can understand greater what we are facing. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ that's speaking to us this morning, this afternoon, here in this chapter. So here in chapter 16 and verse 1, 'tis these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. We're not to be offended by things that comes against us. That's what he's telling us here. Because you and I are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, if so be that we have met him and that we have salvation. You know, Satan can't stand against Jesus, nor can he stand against you and I if we have what we are supposed to have and we have not traded it for things of this world. But a lot of them, that's what they're doing. They're trading the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ for things of this world out here instead of standing straight and strong in the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what they know to do. Now, here in verse 2, he says, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Well, we know what happened in their day and time, and the day and time of the disciples, because we have the record of it in the Holy Bible. We know how they were beaten, how they were stoned, Christ himself crucified. So what would make you and I feel that we are superior to that and not have to face any of that? But you see, the Lord has warned us and gave us warning so that we know what we can be facing. We don't know exactly what Satan will bring against us, but we do know he's not going to quit and just walk away and never come back. We can get rid of him each time he comes, but he's going to be back because, you see, you and I are the ones he's after. those that are not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's already got up to this point. But that's where we come in. You see, we are supposed to walk filled with the Spirit that gives you and I the power to be able to walk and to take his away from him instead of allowing him to take God's children away from him. Think about that. You have that kind of power. We are told that we can help those that are walking in darkness to come out of that darkness into the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, God has sent us into the world to teach the truth and to be there to help heal the sick, the diseased, to help make the weak strong, and to see those that don't know the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, not only to know him, but to receive him and walk with him, walk in him, and him in them, so that they will have the power needed in order to be and to do the work that the Lord Jesus Christ will want them to do. Think about it. Now, so you see, there are those out there yet today that still believe that in hating you and I that are following the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are doing God's work. Because you see, they've made little gods of their own. They're wrong. But we have to stand up, be accounted, and make ourselves known and let them see who we really are. But so many of us won't do that. We sit on our backsides and do nothing or very little instead of trying to talk and to counsel with people, to share the gospel, the word of God, and to bring them into the church to where they can really get into the study of God's word. Because you see, that's what the church is all about. It's about us coming together to learn and also to be stronger because we are standing together. Where there is more than one of us, we stand strong. We're told even two or three. Where there's two or three, he tells us. He said, where there's two or three of you in my name, there I am in the midst. And when we've got him in the midst of us, there's no power that can override him, none whatsoever. These are things that we need to know and to remember, instead of walking as though we have forgotten them. Because we're not to walk in weakness. Now, verse 3. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Now, he's getting ready to let you and I know some things that we have probably known for quite a while, but a lot of them we don't pay too much attention to, And some we even forget all about them, and we don't use them. But we've got to use the things that belong to God in order to get the work done that he has called upon mankind to do. Because just as I was telling you this morning, you see, the Lord God needs mankind. He's in heaven. But he's here on earth and with us because he's in each one of us. And he uses us as a channel to work through. He and the Holy Spirit. He sent the Spirit back to be with you and I because, you see, it's that Holy Spirit that gives us the power to be able to do what God is calling upon us for. Now, here in verse 4, he says, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. He's letting you and I know that these were told to his disciples. They were even foretold before mine and your day, and before the church age even began. Because you see, this church age started on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent back to be with mankind. That was the starting of the church. We don't stop to think about these things a lot of times. And when we don't, it will bring us trouble and put us into trials and tribulations. Because Satan tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. So if he tempted him, you know he's going to tempt you and I. But he's also going to come against you and I to pull us away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and away from the Father, and away from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We got to stand strong. And now he's warning us again here in his word. Now here in verse 5 he says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? He's letting them know they haven't asked him where he's going. You and I know today, because we are of the church age. We have the record of this, so we know where he went. He ascended back into heaven to be on the right hand of the Father and to be there for you and I. Because you see, everything that we will receive in this day and time of the Father comes through him. And whatever we have to get to the Father has to go back through him. And he's gave us a comforter to work with us so that these things can be and be done. He's gave us the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He sent him back to us just as he said he would. So what about it? What about it? Are you walking with it? Now, here in verse 6 he says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Well, we know they had a sadness when they finally understood that he was going away. And you and I today, if we was to know that he was going to be leaving us, he was not going to remain with you and I, there'd be a deep sorrow within us too, because we would be lost, undone, without any way of making heaven our home. Think about it. Because you see, we only have eternal life because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He goes on now here and says, and he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And here he's telling us about what he is sending to us. He said if he didn't go away, the Comforter would not be sent back to earth to be with mankind. And that Comforter is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we know now, because he is telling us and telling us truth of exactly how the Comforter got here. You see, when Jesus went back to heaven, he took the Comforter with him. But he also told us before he left that he was going to send it back. And on the day of Pentecost, he did. He sent it back to dwell within all of mankind that would walk with him, that would serve as a child of the living God and do the things that we are called upon to do and walk in obedience unto the word of Almighty God, becoming his family, his brothers, his sisters, and his children. Think about it. Now, he tells us here in 8, he says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, we know he deals with our sins. The Holy Spirit does. He's the one that lets us know about things that we are doing that we should not be doing. He lets us know about things that we are supposed to be doing that we're not doing. That way we know whether we are walking in sin or not. And he don't make mistakes. He tells us here in 9, of sin because they believe not on me. Those that do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him and want to walk the ways of this world out here, they are of sin. And no way will they ever be able to make heaven their home. Church, it's time that you and I wake up, get off of our backsides, and begin to talk to everyone that we come in contact with about the word of Almighty God, to help as many as we can to come out of darkness and find the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what mine and your life is supposed to be about if we are walking with Jesus. Think about that. But what is your life? What have you made it? How much of this world have you tied up in your life? And how little of our Savior have you tied up into your life? And if you stop and really think and really look, most of us can actually see where we have more of this world than we have of him, and a whole lot more of this world than what we need. You know, his word lets you and I know that all we need is a little food for this body, a place that we can lay this body down or call home, our family, and clothing to cover this body. That's really all we need, because this is not our home. We are on a journey. Whether you are born again or not born again, you're still just passing through this life. And you will either wind up in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to wind up in hell in that lake of fire. And as the word says, there will be forever and the worm never dies. As I told you this morning, that's not what I want. I don't want that lake of fire. I get burnt just a little bit, it hurts. I sure don't want no lake of fire to be standing in or sitting in or however I'm there. I want to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 9, he says, of sin because they believe not on me. And it don't take much for you and I to prove to the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't believe in him. All we have to do is just be short in the things we do for him. You know, just speaking words, I believe, is not enough. That's not what he's talking about. For you and I to show him that we actually believe in him is we are doing the work he calls upon us to do, and we are keeping his word in our lives. Not the ways of this world, but the ways of his word. And we're spending time in his word in order to learn how to walk as he wants us to walk, and to receive the things he has for us. He goes on now, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Righteousness. We're to walk in righteousness, just as he is in righteousness. You and I are actually told to walk on this earth as he walked. And we are to be doing the same things he was doing. We found that out this morning in our scripture. Think about it. You know, it really gets down to the important things when it comes to the point and him making the point of you now walking in righteousness. But he don't stop there either. He comes on down here in 11 and says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He's talking about Satan there. The prince of this world is judged. And you and I don't need to be walking with him to stand the judgment that he's judged with. We need to be walking in righteousness to where the Lord can judge us in righteousness and not in the ways that the prince of this world is. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He's letting you and I know that there is a lot more than what he has gave us to this point. But they are all, it is all here in this word. And surely he will be giving it to us little by little and time after time. We will be getting those things. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, when that Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. He's not going to give you no mistakes or nothing. He's going to guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You see, he is our guide. That Holy Spirit is our guide, and he will be sharing the word that he hears from the Lord our God. He will be bringing that to you and I, sharing that with us so that we can share it with others. Because as I told you before, we are the connection between the Lord Jesus Christ and the lost. We are also the connection between the Lord Jesus Christ and those that are young in the ways of God. And we are also those connected between the Lord Jesus Christ and even those that are called to be pastors, because we are to stand together and to share one with the other. Be there when needed with whatsoever God has given us to use. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus said, whatever I have, he has seen, and he's going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by sharing that with you and I. Everything that you and I will receive, we know that it comes from God, the Father. But it comes to you now through the Lord Jesus Christ. We get nothing that don't come through him. And it is brought to you and I by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. All three of the deities is at work in our lives if we are a child of the living God. Think about that. You see, we're not alone. Now, verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to take it all, bring it to you and I, and let us see it and let us work with it. And it comes through Jesus. It will come from him. And it has been given to him by the Father. We need to stand up and become the church as the church should be. Now, we're going to move here a little bit now. The Lord's going to kind of show you and I some joy that will turn from sorrow. because we all will face sorrow at times. Now, verse 16. A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. He's letting his disciples know here where he is going, and that they'll not be able to see him for a while, but then they will see him again, just as you and I. You say, well, how are we going to see him? One of these days, we're going to step out of this life and into the next. And you're going to see him at least one time. And you'll either go and be with him, or you're going to see him and wish you hadn't. Because we're going to stand before him and be judged according to our works, according to what we have done while we were here on this earth. And we will receive our rewards if we've got any coming. Now, 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. You see, they wasn't understanding what he was telling them. They wasn't understanding that he was going to die and go back to heaven, and they wouldn't be seeing him. But then, when they would step out of this life and into the next, they would see him again. Plus, he's got another time to come for the church, that the church will see him when he comes for it. And then he's also coming back a second time to set up his millennial reign for 1,000 years here upon this earth. And if you're a born-again child of God, just stop and think about something. When he comes back to set up his 1,000-year millennial reign, he's going to be bringing you with him. And you're going to live on this earth again for 1,000 years. The only difference is then, you ain't going to live in sickness and all of this that we've got going now. You'll be living in divine health and in glory. Think about that. That's what I want. I want to live in glory. But in order to do it, I have to be doing what he calls upon me to do. And they said, therefore, what is this that he said? A little while, we cannot tell what he said. They just didn't understand at all. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? You see, the Lord doesn't leave anything undone. He goes on here in 20, and I want you to notice how he starts that 20th verse. Verily, verily. In other words, this is important. Pay attention. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy, because the world is rejoicing because it crucified him and he died. And they still don't believe that he has been resurrected and into heaven. Most of them don't. That's why they are still trying to live by the law, and others are still trying to make gods of their own out of wood and silver and gold and stuff that way. But he tells us too that our sorrow shall be turned to joy, because there is a time. He tells here in 21, he says, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born unto the world. He uses that childbirth in order to get across to you and I what it will be like. You see, his death, his resurrection and all, was sorrow for a lot of mankind. But now when he returns, that sorrow will return to joy. It will be turned into joy. Now, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You see, when that day comes, and mankind sees him again here, no one will be able to take that joy. Satan or no one is going to be able to take that joy. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Uh-oh. Listen to this. Here we go, because he's telling us it's important again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Whatsoever we ask in his name, he'll give to us. Now, he doesn't say that he's going to give it to you instantly. Because, you see, we may ask for something, but we may need a little correction before he gives it to us, because he's going to give it to us when it is the best of time for us, when we are the most capable of seeing, of receiving it, and knowing its whereabouts. Think about that. Now, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Three times there in just a very few verses we've been told that we can have whatsoever we ask of him. That's like with my healing for my sickness. I know I can have it, and I will have it, but according to his time. He knows when the best will be for me to receive, and that will be when I have already received what he has for me in the meantime. Because, you see, some of us are kind of hard-headed. And we don't get things just right away. But he knows. Now, verse 25. He's letting us know why and how these things can be. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. He's been talking to his disciples in Proverbs, but to you and I, it's not really Proverbs because we have a record of all of it. Now, here in 26, he says, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. We are told even how to pray. At that day, ye shall ask in my name. We pray in Jesus' name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. That is why we are told in the Word of God to pray to the Father. But we are to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. The Father says, and you know, when you pray that way, that I will hear from heaven. And you know, if I hear from heaven, I will grant your wishes. Everything has been laid out for you and I. God has not held anything back. The only reason we are not receiving a lot of things is because we are not walking in a way to receive them. And we're not understanding. Because for the most part, there's a lot of things we don't know anything about because we're not staying in the Word of Almighty God. If we don't stay in the Word of God, we've got no way of knowing what's in it. That's why we need that study, that Bible study in God's Word. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speaketh thou plainly, and speaketh no proverbs. Because he is speaking plain there, now they're beginning to understand. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. You see, they are being built up by standing here on his word. And they are getting stronger. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. It's not just coming, it's already came. That ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. And we know that happened, just as he said it would. When they took him, that when they arrested the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples all scattered. They went and hid. Peter denied him three times that one night before the rooster crowed. But they all left him because they were afraid. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Because that's where the only peace we'll ever have comes from. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the world you shall have tribulation. He's letting you and I know we're going to have tribulation, trials, and troubles. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when we have all of this come against you and I, we need to stand and stand alone with him and the Holy Spirit, and we'll have nothing to fear. Think about this. How great a Savior we serve. how great that one is that will hold on to you and I and to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly, even while we walk here on this earth. Praise be unto the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, your saints, wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, to keep them in health, and to see to their needs, Father. Now, Father, Jerusalem and Israel, once again, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that's turned its back upon him, walked so far away without any excuse whatsoever. They have taken Jesus out of every place he was in. They're taking your word, Father, out of those places. They want nothing to do with your people. They're trying to cut us down, Father. We're asking, Father, give us strength, give us courage, give us knowledge. And Father, help us to have a revival so that we can reach the lost of this world with the truth of your word. That others, Father, can come out of darkness and into light, and that light being Jesus. And that they too, Father, will be able to make heaven their home. Give us all strength, Father, and those of us that is in need of that healing touch. Touch us, Father, in a mighty and great way and bring about the healing that is needed. Put us to work, Father, in doing your work. Use us in great and mighty way, Father, so that we can bring fruit back to the Lord Jesus Christ and fruit for the Father. Now, Father, this prayer list of ours, as each name is mentioned, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch that one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. For James Taylor, Father, and his family. For myself, Father, and my family. For Dennis Lee and his family. For Kenny Powers, Father, and his family. For Terry Coates and his family. For Mark Pavlik, for Amy and Tom, and Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob. For Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina. For the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg. Father, touch all of those in a great and mighty way and bring them closer and stronger into the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, and Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little full gospel church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses, but not only lighthouses. Make them a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light. And that light being Jesus. Now, Father, for my friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Brak Mishai, Pastor Zephyr Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs as they travel those countries overseas. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombello, and her mother, for Sue and David, for Palin Goodman, for Kelly Smith, for Karen Lee, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them, Father, in a mighty and great way. Touch them so they know that it is you and not mankind. Now, Father, be with us as we separate to go our own ways now, to go to our own homes. And be with us, Father, through this week. Use us, Father. Use us as we go about our daily lives. And use us in mighty and great ways, reaching out to all with thy word. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Remember now, we can all, God willing, we can all be together again Thursday evening. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great day and a great night. Good evening now.